Hello, my darlings. Welcome back to my YouTube channel. If you're new here, my name is Maria. Please subscribe below so we can be YouTube friends. The topic for today is my top favorite spiritual places to travel to. This has been requested, and I have been very excited about making this video. I love traveling. I love intentional traveling even more than I love regular traveling. And over the years, I have accumulated some favorite places to go to. And yeah, today I'll just be sharing my experiences of some of my favorites. Now, I think as we're diving deeper into spiritual travel, I think there is no one size fits all. I think depending on your personal vibration, your assemblage point, your past life influences, your karmic lessons, you may be drawn to particular places. So I think that the most important thing when you are traveling for spiritual reasons is to listen to your heart, listen to your intuition, and listen to your body. And especially recently, what I have been doing is I've been tuning into my inner guidance, and every single trip that I made has been a calling. It's been spiritually kind of like asking me to come and either transcend certain energies or integrate certain archetypes within myself. So listen to your heart is, I think, the most important thing. Now, I have my visual aids here just because there are a lot of places I want to mention. Yeah. Now, I could have done this the other way. I could have looked at the most high vibrational places on the planet Earth and just, you know, could have done a video about that. But every place that I have selected to share with you, it vibrates slightly differently. And there is something unique and special about each and every one of them. So here it is. Let's start. They are in no particular order. The first one is Egypt. Now, most likely, if you're going to Egypt, you're going to start in Cairo, and then, you know, you're going to probably go up and down the Nile, if that's your thing. I love, love, love Egypt. There is something special about the pyramids. I love meditating inside of the pyramids. Now, Egypt is interesting. You know, you can either go with a group, but or you can go by yourself, but you need a local guide. It's an interesting country. It's a Muslim country, and so meditating there, for instance, or anything that's spiritual, it's like witchcraft. So you have to be careful. Other than that, Egypt is beautiful, like vibrationally, energetically, it's fantastic. I love meditating inside of the smaller pyramids. Now, there are so many pyramids, and if you go with a local guide, if you're lucky, they may take you into one of the local pyramids. And so for me, one of the most transformative experiences in my life has been getting into one of those pyramids. And then they turn off the lights and it's pitch black inside and it's just you and the universe. And the pyramid focuses the energy upward, right? And so literally your intention goes straight to the cosmos. It was so fantastic. And then of course the pyramids of Giza, they are a treat. We stayed there inside for 40 minutes also meditating. Now it's a little bit tricky with the guides, but you can still do that. And it was fantastic. And you get a lot of downloads, and especially if you had past lives in Egypt. But even if you didn't, it is very much a cosmic portal. So Egypt is highly, highly recommended. I also love the Nile River. It is very divine, feminine, in tune or attached and connected to. It's connected to Sirius, obviously, the Egyptian civilization. Has been built by Syrian star seeds by and large. And so if you connect to the Syrian lineage, I think you would enjoy Egypt very much. Now, I also like Alexandria, actually, for spiritual travel. That is by the water also. I also had past lives connected to the libraries of Alexandria, so that could be one. That could be why. So Egypt is one. Highly, highly recommended if you haven't been. The second one, and again, these are in no particular order. It's not like the first one is my most favorite and the last one is my least favorite. The second one is Thailand. Now, Thailand mostly vibrates at the orange center, the sacral center. You know, that's your thing. That's super cool. You know, for me, sacral, it's nice. It's not the level that I vibrate at. There are places, though, in Thailand that are so spectacular. And so there are two spots. They're right next to each other within 2.5-hour drive. One is called Chiang Mai, and the other one is called Chiang Rai. And, you know, you could essentially come into either. Chiang Mai is probably more prominent, as a destination, as a tourist destination. It is located in the Himalayas, right at the foot of the Himalayan mountains. Now, I'll be the first one to admit that I haven't been to the Himalayas proper. Like, I haven't been to, you know, the Chinese side of the Himalayas. And frankly, it is probably one of the most high vibrational spots on the entire earth. So I don't have like the full spectrum of comparison, but I did love both Chiang Mai and Chiang Rai. They have a lot of Buddhist temples. The energy, once you drive in, once you come in, it is super serene and it feels very dispersed. Whereas usually cities and towns, they feel very charged. Like you, it feels like you're walking into like a static charge and like the buzzing. Chiang Mai feels super relaxing. It feels very nurturing for the soul. And it's exceptionally high vibrating. So really, really good meditations there. And I really just love the Buddhist culture in that area of the world. And Chiang Rai has the most fantastic temples, like visually beautiful temples I've ever seen in my life. And also it has the Temple of Kuan Yin. It's not what it's called, but I'm pretty sure if you Google Temple of Kuan Yin in Chiang Rai, it'll the place is going to come up. It's the, like, usually when you travel to Buddhist temples or Buddhist countries, you're used to the big Buddha statues. And there is a huge statue of Kuan Yin in Chiang Rai, just overlooking, you know, the hills. And it's just this huge statue, white statue among the greenery. And you can go up, you know, the statue of Kuan Yin, and it's, there are some interesting things to see inside, but I love Kuan Yin, but also just knowing that there is like a female Buddha Bodhisattva celebrated in this way, in a very meaningful way, means a lot to me as, a female myself. And that was just a very beautiful temple, very high vibrational, amazing meditations. I could have probably like spent a week there just like in meditative pose and downloading, what was coming through. So really highly recommend that. The third on my list would be Indonesia. And there are two spots in Indonesia probably that I want to talk you through, guys. So the first one is Borobudur. There's not much there. There is the Temple of Borobudur, which I was just in awe of. It is a temple that has been restored, you know, according to history, was built, I think, in the year 1000 and something, like 1050. Don't quote me on it. Google knows better. But, you know, it was a temple that was lost for a while. And, you know, only later has it been renovated. But what I was sensing from the temple is that it used to be the temple of the goddess. And it used to be actually surrounded by water. So it was a temple that was like literally nestled in the water. I am feeling that that is one of the spots on our planet, on the face of our planet, that is going to really foster the rebirth of the divine feminine. So if you've been looking to reconnect with the energy of your inner femininity and outer femininity, the Temple of Borobudur is fantastic. Now, the only issue with that temple is they have really recently limited the number of people that can go. I think it's 100 people per day. And they only allow you to stay for like an hour, which is nowhere close to enough, because once you actually get and start climbing the table, the temple, there are like many steps. There are little areas there where you can meditate. And the downloads that I was getting there were out of this world, kind of like almost like the pyramids of Giza. But they're not allowing you to stay for that long. So that's Borobudur. Borobudur is located actually on the island of Java, straight in the middle. So a little bit out of the way. So, you know, it's a pilgrimage. You really want to go there specifically. It's not like, it's kind of, you know, it's not near any major metropolitan area. And then Bali, duh. I debated whether to name Bali or not. Not because it's so commercial. Commercial in the sense, like every time you think about spiritual travel, you think Bali. But here's the download and here's just like, you know, what I would leave you with. Bali is interesting. It's gorgeous. It's stunning. Ubud is fantastic. Now, Bali energetically could be challenging because with Bali, it's you get, you know, it's a little bit of a roller coaster ride. You can get a really good you can get it not so good. And a lot of people, you know, that move to Bali, they will tell you that there are some undercurrents on Bali that are a little bit more of darkness as opposed to light. And here is kind of like what I was sensing when I was there recently. Bali is an island that is really going to activate your karma. So if there is something that you have to face karmically, Bali is going to accelerate the timeline and make you face it head first. What I was getting actually in my downloads as I was there was that Bali used to be a part of Lemuria, the continent. And in the old days, this area, which it wasn't just Bali, but all of Indonesia really has a lot of volcanoes, and a lot of them are active. And they used to be located and still are in a circle. So it was like a circle of volcanoes. And in the days of the old, this was the place to purge. This was the place to release. And, you know, a lot of etheric beings would actually, their entire purpose for existence at the time would be to collect negative energy and drop it into the active volcanoes, like an energetic imprint, call it of greed or anger or wrath or what have you. And then the volcanoes, as the lava was coursing through the volcano, the lava and this liquid fire essentially would neutralize the negative polarity and the negative charge of all of these negative emotions, giving up and giving away only the positive things. And so Bali is really, for me, the island of the great cleanse. And now, of course, if you run away from your karma when you're faced with it on Bali, that could be quite a challenging trip. If you embrace it, if you dive straight into the shadow work, if you face, you know, whatever you're meant to face on Bali, then after you do that, the rest of it is bliss. So take it or leave it. That's Bali. Okay, the next one on my list is Tulum, Mexico. Now, I spend an ungodly amount of time in Tulum every year. I think last year I spent 4 months out of the year. Despite living in the US, I spent it in Tulum. Now, there are many reasons why, but I love Tulum as a spiritual destination and in general as a destination. It vibrates at the center of the heart. So it has very heartfelt energies. Now, it's magical in more ways than one. Not only is the Mayan culture really present in Mexico, and that means a lot of the ancient healing modalities that you can find anywhere else in the world are still very much alive here. And you can go visit the local shamans and the medicine people, and that's a very, very special thing to do. There are temples, pyramids. There are pyramids not too far from Tulum. So if pyramids are your thing, then you could go and enjoy that as well. But really, Tulum has, and what it's famous for, is that at one point, a meteorite fell in its vicinity. And so it created a lot of underground caverns and things called cenotes. And cenotes are actually these almost kind of like ponds, natural made ponds that are usually located inside of caverns. And so a lot of people go swimming in the cenotes, and that's, you know, that's very healing. But really, it feels like you're inside of the womb of the mother. And Tulum is really, really helpful in getting you back to your perfect center, to harmony, to equilibrium. It's fantastic energies. And the waters here in Tulum are very, very cleansing. And there are a lot of ceremonies, you know. People here really live in ceremony. There are a lot of cacao ceremonies, and the sound healing in Tulum is just top notch. And for me, actually, what's interesting, somebody needs to hear this, spiritual travel can mean different things to different people. For me, Tulum is a spot that is so nurturing that I'm the least tired here. So I can do the same amount of work in Tulum as I would in, you know, anywhere else in the world and not get as tired, because the land replenishes me so quickly. And also, this is a place for me to go and get things done. So despite the fact that, you know, it's very, very spiritual here, I feel like, for instance, as a writer, I'm able to get so much done. Like, literally, I'm four times as productive in Tulum as I'm anywhere else in the world, at the same time, still connected. And I've also noticed that the meditations here are fantastic. And, you know, the more you go, the deeper you go into your awakening, the waking up at 4 a.m. happens to you less frequently, granted, because, I mean, it's not like you can wake up at 4 a.m. for like 30 years of your life every night. That's quite draining. But every time I come to Tulum, there is this period of like about a week when I do wake up in the middle of the night and there's always a download or a new spirit guide coming through. And I cherish these moments. These are very special. So that's Tulum, Mexico. The next one is Peru, specifically Sacred Valley. I love Sacred Valley in Cusco. I've been there many times. Machu Picchu, of course. Sacred Valley just feels very wholesome. And of course, it's, you know, the shamanism in Peru is nothing else. So for sacred medicine, for ayahuasca, for instance, Peru is one of the top destinations. But even just walking around in Sacred Valley and feeling the nature, it makes you realize how much you are a part of everything else and kind of like how small of a part you are, but at the same time that you matter. I don't know. I feel like the Sacred Valley energies are healing on so many different levels. With Machu Picchu, I meditated with Machu Picchu, although that's kind of prohibited. But if you get a private guide, they may just allow you to meditate in Machu Picchu. And that was fantastic. That was extremely high vibrational. Sacred Valley, as well as, you know, right around Machu Picchu area, has multiple portals, and it also has a few spots where spacecrafts used to land. So I'm definitely getting a lot of cosmic energies from Peru. It's gorgeous, and check it out if you haven't been. Now, of course, it's elevated, right? Cusco is in the mountains, up in the mountains, so it takes a little bit of readjusting, but it's so wholesome and there are llamas everywhere. Like, what could go wrong with that? My next one on the list, which is a new favorite, is Greece, and in particular, Delphi. Delphi, I know some Americans call it Delphi. It's really Delphi. I like did 30 minutes of research to understand how to pronounce Delphi properly. And of course, in Greek, it'll be Delphi or Delphus, I think they say it. But loved it. Now, Delphi has history. It has history. So it used to be that Gaia, you know, once walked the earth as a goddess, or so the Greek mythology says. And so Delphi was one of the places where she had a shrine and where she had, essentially Gaia was the mother, among other things, of oracles, right, and seers. And so the priestesses of Gaia were originally female seers. And so Gaia had her abode there and her sanctuary, and it's so beautiful and green. Now, of course, when the patriarchy came, Gaia had to or was replaced by Apollo. And so Delphi has some very interesting energy. So it's the energy of the divine feminine and the ancient goddess and this, you know, the serpent, then gets overlaid by Apollo and like masculinity and law and order. And then you also have the temple of Athena there. And the whole like oracle situation, the oracles of Delphi, it's a very rich historical spot and destination. And I've also found that meditations there and synchronicities are just out of this world. Now, specifically, that spot is amazing for healing the female circle, healing the sisterhood wound, healing the persecution wound, the witch wound. Because, I mean, oracles are witches, or, you know, maybe they haven't been defined as witches, but they certainly were. And that's why there's a lot of that energy there. And then they have some of the most beautiful caves. The caves around Delphi and in Greece in general are just, I don't know, there's something else. And again, when you're inside of a cave, you feel like you are in the very womb of the Divine Mother and you're being held by her. And sometimes you need to purge, and sometimes you need to reminisce, and whatever needs to happen happens. But the caverns are fantastic in Greece. So that's that. Sedona, Arizona. I haven't really spoken about any American spots yet. I have two on my list. So the first one is Sedona. And Sedona is, oh my God, magical. And if you guys haven't been, do yourself a favor and please go. Sedona is cosmic. Sedona is a melting pot of every energy, of the spectrum of energies you could possibly want and possibly imagine. You would, you know, it's the red rock land, essentially. And, you know, Native Americans used to live there. But really, when you are in Sedona, stargazing is, oh my God, like that sky is something else. And literally, you can almost like see spacecraft landing. I kid you not, like at night, well, for the most part, because they're pretty cloaked during the daytime. And so that makes you, like, that is the place to go to connect to your star lineage and, you know, your light worker mission. That is also the place that's going to wake you up in the middle of the night. That is the place that would get you closer to what you're supposed to do. So it's really good to reconnect with your past and just understanding what you're there to do. But, you know, Sedona, actually, it's interesting. It's not a land that accepts everybody. So if you have heavy karma with Sedona, it may want to push you out. So I've heard, you know, things happen. But yeah, it's gorgeous, very cosmic. And yeah, you just feel plugged into higher consciousness when you're in Sedona. So highly, highly recommend. The second spot in the United States is Mount Shasta. Now, I've been to Mount Shasta multiple times. That's in California. It's famous for having a portal into Lemuria and into Inner Earth, into Agartha. That is also a spot where you can, like, literally witness spacecrafts landing right upon Mount Shasta. Like, there's usually, you know, there are usually all of these clouds, and some of them look like they're in you know, in the shape of aircrafts. I feel, to me, the energies of Mount Shasta are very masculine. Now, I don't have a problem with masculine energies in the sense that all throughout the beginning of my life, I was practicing my masculine side. And so I don't necessarily feel that the masculine energies are nurturing me. But, you know, my husband really loves Mount Shasta. And, you know, it's just a very nice, beautiful, tight-knit community. It's really good for writing. I know quite a number of books, spiritual books, were born there. It has a lot of crystal shops and just places to go. And that is, Mount Shasta is really where you feel the sense of a community. Like, you will run into all manner of healers there. It's like a thing. So if you haven't checked it out, do go. And I think you're going to enjoy it. Let me see if there's anything else. I feel like there is one more spot that I'm missing. Yeah, of course. Sorry. Which one do you think I forgot? I forgot one of my favorite ones, Glastonbury, England. Okay. So Glastonbury, again, very heart chakra energies, very goddess energies, Mother Mary energies, Archangel Michael energies, the energies of elementals and dragons. I personally have not been, other than outside of England, have not been to a place where the elemental energy is so prevalent. It's just everywhere. You know, it's, the dryads are everywhere. The dragons, like, etherically, are everywhere. And not necessarily in Glastonbury, but like 2-3 hours away. I mean, obviously Stonehenge is right there, and that's a cosmic portal that, you know, where spacecrafts used to land. And Stonehenge is actually also very masculine, but it feels really good and activating if you want to go. But beyond that, they have a lot of forests, around Glastonbury that feel very, very magical. And, you know, Cotswolds is right there, and there are forests around Cotswolds. One of the forests, inspired Tolkien to write, the Ents into the Middle Earth, you know, those walking trees, because literally in that forest, every tree feels alive. Like, the amount of tree hugging and just connecting to the trees and my druidic, like, past lives that I've done in England has been unprecedented. So England for me is like one of my favorites. And of course, Glastonbury, it's amazing and fantastic for the rites of passage. Glastonbury for me is the summer solstice destination. That is where I get activations like nobody's business. So really, really love it. I think I'm going to go back to Glastonbury literally once a year for the rest of my days. It's very activating. Tor is fantastic. But there are many spots around Glastonbury, like Avebury, where there are a lot of monolithic structures, like a lot of stones, ancient stones, and each stone has a story. And by, like, placing your hands upon the stone, you can really feel into it. Now, there's not much of it that you cannot do that on Stonehenge because they don't let you close enough. And that's in general, like, that has definitely been my experience with a lot of sacred places, like Machu Picchu. A lot of spots on Machu Picchu you cannot go to. Like, they literally would put the ropes and, like, nobody can get through. And I wonder if that's, like, the authorities trying to prevent the massive awakening that would happen from the crystals and the land and whatnot. All right, my darlings, please let me know in the comments if you have traveled to these, if you have a favorite from the list that I have mentioned, or if you have any thoughts or any advice for me on where I should go next, please let me know in the comments. Because yeah, I'm looking for what other spots I should go and visit next. Thank you so much for sticking around. This was so long. Sending you a big virtual hug. I'll see you in the next one. Bye, loves.